God is good. And all the time. Amen. Well, we have some faces that I've never seen in here before. We've got a row of about three, a couple rows back here. These are my parents and my brother. They came here to help me move in. So be sure to grab them and shake them and love on them while they're here. And I want to give props to Tyler and Daniel. If you two will stand, be recognized before everyone. They helped us move in and brought me a funnel cake. Thank you. So, some of the announcements that we have for today. I want to lift up the trunk or treat, first of all, and that's on October 31st. What we do is if you donate your trunk, that would be the trunk of your car. You decorate the back of it. It's not an elephant's trunk, or not the trunk back here so much, but it's a trunk that you decorate. You decorate the back of that, and when a kid comes up and says trunk or treat, you either give them candy or you throw them in your trunk and shut your trunk. That's an easy decision for me. Yes. Without which one I would want.
Absolutely.
But no, you decorate the back of your trunk. We need more trunks for that. Kids get candy. It's a fun thing. Also, we have some ornaments, some First United Methodist Church ornaments here. I believe this is commemorating the 160th anniversary of the church. And I've already bought like five of these, okay? All right, that's a lie. I haven't bought five of them. I haven't bought one yet. But I want you to go to the back and check these out. Okay, get one of these. Money goes to the church. Very good thing, okay? And I will put this back. Okay, I'm not going to steal it. A few more announcements. For the high school. The high school Bible study tonight at 4. Hayride at 5. Okay, and that's here at the church.
The hayride isn't, but we meet here at the church.
Okay, so that's good.
We just take them around the sanctuary.
Yeah, around the sanctuary, hayride. Yeah. Earl has to clean that up on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, also, next week is to October 24th, To Save a Life. It's a film that the youth is showing. A lot of the churches in the community, their youth groups are coming together for that, to see that. That's a really big event. We need any casseroles, desserts, any of that would be welcome. Let me see if there's anything else that I'm missing. Anything else I need to mention?
Well, the movie's at 3.
Okay.
And then it's a 2.5-hour movie. It's a very powerful movie. And at 5:30, 5:45, something like that, we'll gather downstairs to eat. And then we'll come back up, senior high in one area, junior high in another area, to talk about the issues that the movie brings up. So.
Okay. And also, if you look in your bulletin, we have a connection card that we want you to fill that out, whether you're visiting, a member, you name it. And it's got a dotted line, okay? It's not the easiest thing to tear, but it can be done. Huh?
Woohoo!
I know. It's stuff like this that gets me graduated to the face mic, okay? So I'm happy about that. Anything else? I think that's all I've got for now. So. Lunch Bunch is next. Yeah, that's right. October 24th. Cost for Lunch Bunch is $6 per person. And there are a few more details for that in your bulletin. What time is that? After church? Okay. All right.
They say that because sometimes we don't know when church is over. So.
Okay, yeah. Or you don't?
It's just easier to say after church.
Okay, yeah. I got you. Whenever that may be.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Eric.
All right. Now Marion will begin us with our prelude as we prepare our hearts and our minds and our soul to worship God today as our acolytes bring in the light of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
right, if you would all stand, join us in singing the Revelation song this morning.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You.
Holy God, we come to you this day, lifting our voices, lifting our hands to you, God. We thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together and worship you. We thank you, God, for your presence here, but Lord, we still want to be deliberate in asking for your presence. In Jesus' name, God, anoint us fully with the Holy Spirit. Wash over us, Lord. Help us to focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, God. Help us to treat each other with that love that is your gift. Be with us today as we gather together. We want to raise our hands and our voices and our souls and say, blessed be your name, God. Help us do that. Give us the strength and empower us to do that very thing, God. And may your Spirit remain with us throughout this week. May we be different because of your presence here today, God. Anoint us fully. Make all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place because of your powerful presence. Fill every darkness that is in our soul, God. Be with us today. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen. Blessed be your name, God. You all know this well. Sing it out this morning.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise.
Clap with me, let's go.
When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
You guys can keep clapping. You don't have to wait on me.
Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, for there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Here we go now.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will
say,
blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. Let's give God praise this morning. All right, please be seated.
Corner. So if you want to come on up and get that started.
I love Jesus.
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus.
How about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
All right. Okay. This right here is a big jar. And it's full of golf balls, that's exactly right. I borrowed these golf balls from June and Larry Waffle, so they haven't got to play golf in a long time. I'm going to use this today. This big old jar here, oh goodness, is going to represent our life. And these golf balls that I put in there are going to represent God. God in our lives. She, you don't like my story? See here? Looky here. See these golf balls? Wow, yes. It is good after all. Okay, these golf balls are going to represent God in our life. Okay? All right, now then, let me get this up here. That jar is totally full. So our life is full of God, isn't it? All right, these rocks here, I'm going to pour in. They're going to be our family, and our mom, and our dad, and our brothers, and our sisters, maybe Nana and Papa. Whoops, thank you. Sorry, Earl. this also, maybe our church. You know anything about a church family? Everybody sitting out there looking at us doing this is our church family. So all of those people too. Boy, we're about to get it full. I'm going to pour it all though. Keep pouring. Look at that. Now our life is really full, isn't it? Look at that. It is full. Whoops. Too full. Well, let's see. Man, look. We are full. But we're going to add something else. Oh, I know. Can you believe it? All right. This is going to be, oh, we'll say school. We're going to add school here. Oh, don't moan. I'm funny, aren't I? And it may be books. Oh, there's lots of good books. We're going to add books. On TV, we have to add that. And DVDs, and then we have to add, I don't think Randy's here, but we have to add football and basketball and all those, soccer ball, yeah, all those kinds of balls. We have to add all that, don't we? Oh, and we better add friends. We'll put our friends. Oh, look. Wow. Are we going to make it? Is it getting full? Look at this. Oh, my goodness. How can I? Whoa. Yeah, it's hard to breathe. Oh, my goodness, look, our life, wow, you see too? Look how full it is. Okay, wow, this is so full now. Yeah, look at that. But we're going to add a few more things to make our life just right. We're going to add, oh, maybe some lightning bugs. Maybe, thank you very much. Rainbow, we better add rainbows, hadn't we? Oh, and butterflies. Does anybody like butterflies? Oh, good, I do too. Hummingbirds, think we better add a hummingbird. Can you shake it and make some of them go down? Are we full? Oh, my goodness. We may be full. Oh, no. They're making me more room. Okay. I've got room now for some turtle races. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I've got a couple more good things. Oh, yes. Perfect, guys. They're helping me so much. Okay. And now then I've got room for, oh, a good one, ice cream. Ooh, yes. And then I've got room left for three little words that say, I love you. Now look at this. I can't even lift this up yet. Preacher, come help me. I know it's heavy. Will you lift that up? And look. Now, our life is full there. Look at that. It's full of our family. It's full of God. But now the whole thing about this is God wants to be first in our lives. And I put the golf balls in first. What if I hadn't? What if I decide to put TV and books and football and butterflies and ice cream? What if I decide to put all of that stuff in first? We couldn't have got all of God in, could we? No, it wouldn't have went. That's the whole lesson of this, is that God wants to be first in your life, and you wouldn't ever get him in first. You wouldn't get your life full of God if you didn't put him in first. And so that's what he wants to be. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I know. You have muscles. I am so impressed. Yes. And you know what? Did we even add our preacher in this? We add our church, but we'll add our preacher in this too. But anyway, okay, that's the preacher. He tops it all. That's for sure. All right. Let's bow our heads. Let's have a little prayer. Want to? Okay. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for these children. God, I hope that you would help us to remember not only these children, but all of us, that we need to put you first in our lives. You need to be first. You want to be first, and that's what you desire from us. Lord, I thank you for these children. I thank you for their families that bring these children. Lord, bless our church and bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, I'd like to point out a few of the joys and concerns. The high school girls softball team is going to state on Friday and Saturday, so that's a big praise. And the high school band took second out of eight at the Trenton Band Festival. That's good, too. And now, do we put these back out front and drink out of these once we...
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, we're all into recycling.
Yeah, that's good. Go so. Green. Okay, a few other things. Is Amelia Roberts in here? Is she? Where is she? She's right back there. Okay, she just had her first birthday. Is that right? All right.
Yay!
And she has this bouquet up here celebrating that. So happy birthday, Amelia. A few of our concerns, if you'll look on the back of your bulletin. Remember in your prayers some of the names, some of these folks that are at home or they're in different care facilities, hospitals, nursing homes. Remember to keep them in your prayers. Some of these names, if you don't recognize them, get out the directory. I find it always easier for me to put a face with a prayer. I think that makes it a little more personal for me. Also, remember, not on this list, Jay Sterling just recently this week got diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he made that announcement this morning in the early service. So remember him as well in that. And I'd like to just open us or just give a time of prayer at this point. So God, we love you. And we, God, we just ask that you become just an enormous part of our lives, God, that we're able to put aside all these things that we place there, God, so that we can seek you, that we can know you, that we can know your face, and that we can know your character, and that we can know that no matter what happens, come rain or shine, come feast or famine, God, that we can trust you with every being, every part of our lives. And so, Lord, we just submit our hearts to you. We submit our minds to you. And so, Lord, we just lift and just give our entire soul and being to you, Lord. Amen. I'd like to invite you to open in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James was the brother of who? James, also the brother of Jesus. This particular James is the brother of Jesus.
Didn't you say that was the correct answer for any question?
Always, yes. Jesus is always the correct answer. no matter what the question is. And I think in James' case, it's very unique that he worshiped his own brother as God. Like, my brother is here today, but I don't know if I could ever get even close to that. I don't really know. But at James 2, I don't know, maybe I did. I'm not sure. But on James 2, I want you to go ahead and stand. I invite you to stand. Hold your finger at James 2. Stand with us as we say our Bible pledge.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. James chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Good morning. I think we have some tired folk, not only here, but some that are missing from our activities this weekend. So make sure, oh, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, you know what? It's always good to be tired after you work hard, right? It's when you're tired without working hard that's not good sometimes. So thank you for being here today. Well, the last few weeks, we've been stepping through this prayer that we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer, because it's the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We learn that instead of the traditional Jewish way of considering God, Jesus wants the disciples to think of God as a much more personal figure. Father, Abba, or we even talked about Daddy, right? Do you remember that? So from the very beginning, to say this prayer, you have to believe that you are a child of God. Now, you all are getting very good at saying this. So through your yawns today, why don't you say that together? I am a child of God. Let's say it. I am a child of God. All right. If you get nothing else out of this teaching series, I want you to remember that. I am a child of God. So once we establish that, when we say our Father, that personal relationship, we also realize that Jesus said our Father, right? You remember that? That's so many weeks ago that we talked about that. And so we need to remember this. And let's say this together as well, starting with I am a child of God. Say that. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. I am a part of a family. So right off the very beginning, when we say our Father, two simple words, right? Our and Father, we realize, each of us individually, I am a child of God, I am not alone, I am part of a family. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life when knowing that right there was enough. Anybody ever been there? I mean, if I would have understood at that moment in my life that I could say our Father, and it meant, I am a child of God, I am not alone, I am part of a family. There are days that's all I need. Amen? Yeah. This family is to support and defend each other. Now listen to me here. This family is to support and defend each other. This family is to lift each other up in prayer and do all in their power to provide a place of healing and wholeness. Does this remind you of anything? What I just said. Support and defend each other. Lift each other up in prayer and do all in our power to provide a place of healing and wholeness. Does that remind you of anything? Thank you. Yes, I didn't think that was a trick question. Yes, the church, right? That's my understanding, at least, of what a church is. And I think this church is an awesome example of that. Provide a place of healing and wholeness. Now, when we looked at the next line of Jesus' prayer, it was, hallowed be your name. Now, I don't know about you, but I, growing up with this, that was just something that I said. Hallowed be your name, God, right? Well, as we studied it this week, we realized that there was a little bit more to that, and it's not necessarily prettier. Hallowed be your name. That's an awesome statement, isn't it? Very poetic. But we find out that what it means is, may you be given that unique reverence, God, may you be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality as you have revealed them to us demand. Not nearly as pretty, not nearly as poetic, but much more understandable for this mind. So in other words, even though Jesus wanted us to think of God as that personal, safe figure, he also didn't want us to lose the holiness of God, did he? He wanted us to remember that God is holy. God is the one who was and is and always will be. Amen? So ultimately, we realize that this statement simply supported what we find in Scripture, and that is that God is the axiom. God's existence is a basic fact of life, and we express this reverence for God who exists and the God who is personally interested in us by living and demonstrating it in every moment of our lives, both in the church and in the world. Now, when we focused on the next line of our prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, I don't know about you, but I kind of got scared whenever I started talking about this line. Again, said the prayer my entire life. Never really thought about it that much until I started studying this prayer. Jesus' plan is that his kingdom would begin in us, in the church, and spread throughout the world. And although it's very exciting whenever we celebrate God's victories. Remember I talked about an example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? Whenever God saved them from that fiery furnace. You all remember that, that children's story that actually happened? All right, it's not just a story. So God saved them from that fiery furnace. We celebrate those times, right? But the thing is, we also have other times when we pray for God's kingdom to come, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Dear God, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Remember that prayer? And we all understand what happened to Jesus, didn't we? Yeah. You see, sometimes when we're not in control of the outcome, for me, anytime I'm not in control of the outcome, which is most of the time, Teddy, it's a scary situation, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's a scary situation. When we're never quite sure of what's going to happen, it is a scary time. It may be something that we haven't thought of or don't like. It may be painful. Or, as in Jesus' case, it may even kill us. The kingdom of God is to confront oneself with a personal challenge in which we either accept or refuse the will of God for us. So when we pray this prayer, this line of this prayer, we're actually saying, Lord, help me to do your will. All right, so last week we focused on, give us this day our daily bread. And once again, Jesus is stressing the community and our relationships. Jesus teaches us a petition for daily bread, a petition that God will give us the simple, ordinary things which we daily need to keep body and soul together. That's not the gold and the silver and the Cadillacs and the limousines, right? No, that or the crab, if that's your favorite thing, right? No, it is the simple things, the daily things that we need to keep body and soul together. You know, in a way, the amazing thing about that whole concept is that you and I can bring ordinary, everyday things to this amazing God of the universe. Isn't that kind of cool? I think that's kind of cool. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. All right. Today we move to the next line of our prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now there are three ways that we hear this. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And also forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Now, I want you to think about the depth of that statement and the meaning of those words as we look on this video. Help us define today's sentence.
Within the act of forgiveness lies an extraordinary power. It is the power to right wrongs, heal wounds, and ultimately change the course of history. It is a call to show grace and mercy, not merely as a social recommendation or personal disposition, but as a mandate from the God who forgave us first. Out of love, He chose to take all of our personal garbage and sweep it away, erasing it from our past. In exchange, we have received a clean slate, a brilliant future filled with opportunities to pass this gift on to each other. Through the love of Christ, we too have the power to overlook offenses, right wrongs, and heal history. We too have the power to sweep it all into a big pile of garbage and watch it burn away. Because of the one who showed mercy on us first, we too have the power of forgiveness.
The power of forgiveness. Within the act of forgiveness lies the extraordinary power of healing. Amen. Forgiveness brings great healing within yourself and within others. And Jesus taught His disciples to forgive and pray for forgiveness. You know, every week I think, wow, I've prayed this prayer all my life and I didn't realize how challenging it is. And you know what? This week is no different. And maybe, possibly, I don't know, we have another week to go, but maybe this week tops them all. Every time we pray this prayer, we're saying, Lord, if we don't forgive others, we don't deserve to be forgiven. Think about that. If we don't forgive others, we don't deserve to be forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but that is work, right? I'm thinking, you mean that before I get on my knees and ask God for forgiveness, God expects me to forgive everyone who has wronged me first? Good night. Let that sink in just for a moment. Just so there's no misunderstanding, let's get our Bibles out. Hopefully you brought yours, but if not, get the Pew Bible out. And let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Now, for those who know, where is Matthew in your Bible? Old or New Testament? That's right, New Testament. And so the New Testament actually begins with Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I want to read you a story that begins with verse 23. Matthew 18, verse 23. This is a parable that Jesus told. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife, his children, and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave! I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. "So my heavenly Father," Jesus said, "will also do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart." That's pretty painful, isn't it? Another example, Luke 6. So we're in Matthew. Just turn Matthew, Mark, and then Luke in your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 6. We'll begin with verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Most of you have heard at least the last part of this, these two verses that I'm going to read you. Luke 6, verse 37. Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. You know, I could almost quote for an entire hour scripture where Jesus talks about this idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And of course, then we go to our scripture for today in the book of James. In the book of James. It's right after the book of Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. "For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Jesus was serious about this forgiving thing. As I was studying for today, I came to realize that you have to forgive others, but you also have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive others, but you also have to forgive yourself. And you know what? It's hard sometimes to forgive others, but it's even harder, in my opinion, to forgive yourself, isn't it? There are things that people say to me as pastor that hurts very deeply, and eventually I can let go of it. And sometimes that saying is whenever they don't say anything at all, they just disappear. And a couple weeks later or a month later, you're like going, "Wait a minute, I haven't seen so-and-so for a while. What's up with that?" Right? And you just don't know. That unknown is hard for me, right? That's torture for me. So if you want to torture your pastor, just don't show up and it'll do the trick. But anyway, I can let go of that stuff eventually. But you know what that eats me, and maybe it eats you too, that as I think back on my life, those moments where I blabbed my mouth off when I should have kept it shut, or those times whenever I did something right that I shouldn't have done, or you know what, sometimes the even more painful time is whenever I didn't do something that I know I should have done. I don't know about you, but those are things that, I mean, wouldn't you love to just call that person up? Maybe you can't even remember their name, right? And you just wish you could call them up and say, "Oh man, I am so sorry. I've been thinking about what I said to you or did to you or didn't do to you, and I just want to apologize. I am so..." Right? Does that eat up anybody else? Yeah. It's hard to forgive others, but boy, to me, it seems even harder to forgive myself. This is a story by Jim Cimbala. I don't know if you've heard of Cimbala. He's a pastor who's written several books. He's also a pastor that is at a church in the slums of New York. This is a longer story, but it's a very powerful story. I hope you stick with me. Jim says, "It was Easter Sunday, and I was so tired at the end of the day that I just went to the edge of the platform." So it's one of those churches that are kind of like a theater where there's a platform up in front where what we would call the chancel area. He says he went up to the edge of the platform, pulled down his tie, and sat down and draped his feet over the edge of the platform. It was a wonderful service with many people coming forward. The counselors were talking with people. And as I was sitting there, I looked up in the middle aisle, and there in about the third row was a man who looked about 50, disheveled and filthy. He looked up at me rather sheepishly as if saying, "Could I talk with you?" Jim says, "We have homeless people coming in all the time asking for money or whatever." So as I sat there, I said to myself, "Though I am ashamed of it," he says, "what a way to end a Sunday. I've had such a good time preaching and ministering, and here's a fellow probably wanting some money for more wine." This fellow walked up. When he got within 5 feet of me, Jim says, "I smelled a horrible smell like I'd never smelled in my life. It was so awful that when he got close, I would inhale by looking away. And then I would look back at him and talk with him, and I would look away and inhale, Jim says, because I couldn't inhale facing him because the smell was so bad. I said, "What's your name?" He says, "David." "How long have you been on the street?" David said, 6 years. "How old are you?" 32. He looked 50, hair matted, front teeth missing, wino, eyes slightly glazed. Jim says, "Where did you sleep last night, David?" "Abandoned truck. I keep in my back pocket a money clip that also holds some credit cards. I fumbled to pick one out, thinking I'll give him some money. I won't even get a volunteer and bother them. They're busy talking with others. Usually we don't give money to people. We usually take them something to eat." I took the money out, and David pushed his finger in front of me and said, "I don't want your money." He says, "I want that Jesus, the one you were talking about, Pastor, because I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die on the street." Jim says, "I completely forgot about David, and I started to weep for myself. I was going to give a couple of dollars to someone God had sent to me." "See how easy it is," he says. "I could make the excuse I was tired, but there is no excuse. I was not seeing David as God sees David. I was not feeling what God feels, but oh, did that change? David just stood there. He didn't know what was happening inside of my soul. I pleaded with God, 'God, forgive me. Forgive me. Please, God, forgive me. I am so sorry to represent you this way. I am so sorry, God. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send somebody, and I'm not ready for it. Oh, God, I am so sorry.'" Jim says, "Something came over me. Suddenly I started to weep deeper, and David began to weep. He fell against my chest as I was sitting there. He fell against my white shirt and my tie, and I put my arms around him. And there we wept together. The smell of his person became a beautiful aroma. Here is what I thought the Lord made real to me that day. If you don't love this smell, Jim, I can't use you. Because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you are about, Jim. You are about this smell." Jim says, "Christ changed David's life. He started memorizing portions of Scripture that were incredible. We got him a place to live, we being the church. We hired him in the church to do maintenance, and we got his teeth fixed. He was a handsome man when he came out of the hospital. They detoxed him in 6 days. He spent that Thanksgiving at my house." Jim says he spent Christmas at my house as well. "When we were exchanging presents, he pulled out a little thing and he says, 'This is for you, Jim.' It was a little white hanky. That's all he could afford." A year later, David got up and talked about his conversion to Christ. The minute he took the mic and began to speak, Jim says, "I told myself, this man is a preacher. This past Easter, we ordained David. He is an associate minister of a church over in New Jersey. And I was so close to saying, 'Here, take this. I'm a busy preacher. Don't bother me.'" Jim concludes with the statement, "We can get so full of ourselves, can't we?" It's easier to forgive others. But many times it is so difficult to forgive ourselves. You see, by saying this line of Jesus' prayer, we have to accept the fact that only the forgiving can be forgiven. Let's say that together. Only the forgiving can be forgiven. Again, only the forgiving can be forgiven. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." If you would turn with me in your hymnal to number 390. 390. I don't know this song, but I want to share with you the words. 390 in your hymnal. Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. What trivial debts are owed to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease. Then bound to all in bonds of love, our lives will spread your peace. It's pretty powerful words for a song I've never heard. So as we pray this little line in our prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Know that that's something very, very deep that we need to take seriously when we pray it. And also, remember, when you think that there is no way you can forgive someone, when you think there is no way that you can forgive yourself, remember that we are the disciples of him who prayed for forgiveness for those who were nailing him to a cross. If we call ourselves Christian, we want to be like Christ, right? Let us work to forgive not only others, but also ourselves. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for this prayer, Lord. And as we learn about it, it becomes more and more relevant in our lives, God. And you know, Lord, speaking of relevant, if we as Christians truly would say this prayer with the depth of understanding that you have given us, maybe we as Christians would be more relevant to people in the world, God. Be with us. Give us your courage. Give us your power, God. Help us to forgive others, but also, Lord, help us to forgive ourselves. We love you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.